Many men will drink the rain, serve a thing that shines. Many men will hear you speak, they will never change their mind. But I will not forget you, oh my God, my King. With a grateful heart I bring my offering and my sacrifices, not what you can. Thankful prayer I pray, a wild dance I dance before you, a loud song I sing, a huge bell I ring, a life of praise I live before you. Many men will pour their gold and serve a thing that shines. Many men will hear you speak, and they will never change their minds. But I will not forget you, oh my God, my King. With a thankful heart I'll bring my offering and my sacrifices, not what you can give, but what I alone can give to you. With thankful heart I pray, grateful prayer I pray, a wild dance I dance before you, a loud song I sing, huge bell I ring, life of praise I live before you.
Check, check, 1, 2, 3. That sounds good. All right. Got 4.
Thank you.
Here is our King. Here is our love. Here is our God who's come to bring us back to Him. He is the one. He is Jesus. Here is our King. Here is our love. Here is our God who's come to bring us back to Him. He is the one. He is Jesus. Majesty. Finally. Oh, majesty.
Well, good morning. It is a beautiful day, amen. Well, welcome home, we like to say it. Welcome home to Hope on the Beach Church. We are glad you're here with us, whether you're here in person or you're online. Join us through Facebook or our website. We are glad you're here. We say welcome home to our place here. And this is a place of grace, and that's why we say it's a no judgment zone. This is a place of God's grace. This is not a place of red and blue. Whatever sides, wherever this world is divided, this is a place where we come united in Christ. And God comes to us. And no matter how messy our life is, no matter where we've wandered and been, God still comes to us because He's a God of grace who cares about you. And this is what we are as a church, about awakening hearts to Jesus every day. We want to be part of that work, and that's why we do what we do. We want to be part of watching God awaken you and drawing you to Him. And what does He do? I come to give you life and life abundantly, more meaningful, more purpose, more filling than ever you can have on your own in this world. And that's what Jesus comes to give. And so I encourage you as you get here just to be here with Him. And I'll let Him to communicate to you, whether it's in the song or in the word or just in the beautiful of His creation. Let the peace of God come into your heart. And we got so much stuff in the world. Let's let Him silent listen to Him. And we like to acknowledge your presence with us. And so in your worship folder, there's a connection card. It's our way of to recognize your presence. We truly believe that God brought you here and you're a gift from Him. And we like to be good stewards of the gifts that God gives. And we really, the caring of your soul and your presence is important to us. And so we want to be able to care for you and be able to connect and be a resource to help you in your walk, wherever you're at, whether you're here just visiting once or you're part of Hope on the Beach locally, wherever that variation is, you're always welcome, always part of this place, and we're here to serve you no matter what. And that's our joy, to bring that along. We are in a series that's called Faith and Family, and we were going through Genesis to these early families, these great patriarchs that you probably are very familiar with. You've heard them in Sunday school. If you've been around church, it's kind of hard to miss some of these names. But what we've discovered is that most of us maybe know the story, but never really sat in a story long enough, and we're taught an adult place of what this really means in our life today. And also to sit and really see the dysfunction. Lots of dysfunction in the early families, and yet see God work beautiful things of His grace and see His promise. And that's just been speaking to us in our family dysfunctions and how God is still working and still there. And I hope it will just bless you as we continue today, as our director of ministry, Steve, brings the message today about faith, when fear and faith meet together. So with that, I invite you to rise with me as we begin worship together. God, we thank You for the this opportunity to just gather. We thank you for gathering to bring us to this place of your grace. We thank you that we can be in your presence of the holy, almighty God, the God of all creation, the God who's created us. And so, God, we seek you. And we ask you that you would just pour out your spirit here among us, that it would, man, awaken our hearts to you, that, man, wherever there's fear that's ruling in our hearts, that you replace it with faith. That we don't let we live in anxiousness. Talk about an anxious generation. We got all this tech and everything else, but we're just more anxious than ever. God, you're a God who gives security to his children. You're a God who gives peace to his kids. So God, rain out your spirit. Give us peace. And that rule in us, that we would be different in the world. We might be shaken, but we have a strength from inside that comes from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. I'm excited. This is my first opportunity to be on a beach worshiping. And so here's the thing that I think. It shouldn't just be me singing, so I hope that as we lift up the name of Jesus this morning, that you guys would sing out. But I wanted to pick up on something that Pastor Jason said. It's about grace, the grace of God. And so this morning we're going to sing about the grace of God, but I want to start this way. You have your worship folder in there in front of you, but it goes like this. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Do you believe that this morning? So let's just sing that together. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Sing this out. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with a sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong, and you lead us. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Sing this out this morning. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me. Well, God, I sing, your grace is enough. Now I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. It's enough for me. And how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Sing this out, how great! How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will sing, how great is our God? And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. And you're the Godhead, three in one. Oh, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great! How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will sing, how great is our God? Let's lift up his name. He's the name. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. He's the name above all names. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Patrick, you may be seated. Welcome. I'm Steve. I get to share with you today as we continue to work our way through Jacob's and Esau's dilemma. And it is quite a dilemma, if you recall. Jacob stole Esau's birthright for a bowl of soup. He made him trade it. Esau comes in out of the field from an all day of hunting. He's starving to death. And Jacob, who was kind of a house guy, liked to stay home, and he was cooking. And he had made a big pot of soup, and Esau came in. He said, "Can I get some of that?" Little brother says, "Yeah, if you give me your birthright." "What?" "Yeah, give me your birthright."
He said, I'm starving to death. What good is a birthright to me? And he cut the deal. And so Jacob becomes number one in the family. Jacob gets the inheritance. He gets to make the decisions. He becomes the boss when Dad is called to glory. And he has stolen it. Well, now the day comes where we're going to pick up the action when the two brothers are going to meet. They're going to come back together. Jacob has decided he needs to reconcile. But there's only one thing wrong with that idea. It scares him to death. You got anything that scares you? Can you bring something to mind that scares you? Maybe you have a scare. The Bible talks about the inner man. There's a place inside us where nobody ever gets to go. Some of us have things inside our hearts and our deep down inside us that perhaps our spouse doesn't even know. Our family doesn't know. Our dearest friends may not know. And we sometimes can hide a fear in there. A fear that grips us so badly, it can almost paralyze us. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to face what we have to face. Well, that's where Jacob is. Jacob is on his way to meet his brother, and he has no idea what's going to happen. Now, let me go to Medlin for just a second. You may be aware the holidays are coming. All those grins, you're already way ahead of me. There are meetings, greetings, there are dinners, there are activities that all your family's going to be together. And some of you are dreading some of that already. I had one of those life of the party funny uncles. I think every family's got a weird uncle. And I had a weird uncle. Every time he came to our house, he would give my mom a hard time by saying, can I get a ham sandwich? And my mom never kept ham in the house. He knew that. My mom was a bologna girl. I grew up on bologna. So to have ham was a big deal. And he knew that. So he hit the door every time. Can I get a ham sandwich? So one time they were coming over, and I talked my mom into making a ham sandwich. But what I did was I bought one of those rubber fake pieces of cheese, and I put that on his ham sandwich. And so he's making a big deal. I can't believe it after all these years. I got me a ham sandwich. And he takes a big old bite out of that thing, and he can't get it to bite, and ham's falling on the floor, bread's tearing, and he's stuck with a piece of rubber cheese hanging out his mouth. And he's looking around trying to figure out who did it, and I couldn't help myself. I was about 12, and I am doubled over. And he knew then who did it. We all got family stuff, don't we? I had an alcoholic grandfather who just laid on the couch. Every time we'd come over, he was nearly passed out. We all have family baggage. Now I say that not only to introduce this picture, but I want to tell you, it's okay. It's not okay that you have family drama. Nobody wants to go through that. But you need to realize we all have it. You're not alone. You're not the only one that may have estranged kids, or you may have kind of an awkward situation when you have to be in the same room with your ex. People have family issues. Esau and Jacob have a big family issue. They're brothers. Jacob was a favorite of mom's, and Esau was dad's favorite. So they even divided the parents. And now they're going to come together. Jacob's on his way to meet his brother. So we're going to see how he dealt with this fear that was gripping him. And I think we'll find some hints for us. So if you have a gripping fear today, I want you to just go ahead and admit it. Don't stand up. Just, you know, look in the mirror. Just admit, that scares me. That really scares me. Maybe it's a confrontation that you know you have to have, but you don't want to have it. Like being a kid getting called to the principal's office. You don't want to go because you don't know what's going to happen. Or in middle school, where the bully tells you to meet him out back. You don't want to go. Not when you're my size. You don't want to go. Fear can grip us in a lot of places. Sometimes it's just a difficult conversation because we don't know how it's going to end up. So let's look at this today. Let's see if we can piece something together out of this. Let's look in your bulletins. You have the outline. You have the scriptures that we're going to read together. There in Genesis 32, the first five verses, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight." Jacob has decided to try and make peace. He wants to try and make peace. And so he has sent servants ahead of him. First of all, tell my brother how good I'm doing. Tell him how good I'm making success. I've got all this livestock. I've got servants. I'm kind of doing well. And then you tell him that I've sent you because I want to make peace. I want to find favor in his sight. Have you ever sat and calculated how you might make peace with somebody? Have you ever laid awake at night wondering how you could handle a pending problem? Things that attack you. Maybe it's a diagnosis that scares you. And you spend a lot of time thinking about it. Sweating bullets about it, maybe. Maybe even a little panic begins to set in. Well, look at number one. Let's remember this. Number one, even in fear, God's grace comes first. Jacob sets out on his journey to meet his brother, who he's afraid of, and who's he run into first? Angels of God. So much so that he says, this is God's camp. So he has to go through God's camp to face his brother. Now, beloved, let me tell you something. I don't care what you face. I don't care how big your fear is. I don't care how afraid you are of something coming today. You're in God's camp. Grace comes first. If you'll trust God today, He will surround you in His grace. He will send His power before you. Look at what Psalm 27 said. Here's what David comes up with. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold, is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Why would I be afraid? David says it for us. Jacob realizes it. This is God's camp. So God's grace meets us in the midst of our fear. He's promised to never leave you alone. He's with us. Let me tell you something. Let me speak to those of you that may not have received God's grace as yet. You're seeking something new and special in your life. You know there's more peace available. You're looking for it. Maybe you need a purpose in your life. You're seeking that. Let me invite you today to meet God's grace. Let me invite you today to recognize how much God loves you. He can walk right through those fears. You don't need to fear a confrontation with the Lord. Out on the highways here and there, going back and forth places, every now and then I'll see a billboard and it says, you may have seen it too in your travels, it just says, God's not mad at you. You ever seen that one? It's a good thing for us to be reminded of, especially if we have never received God's grace. You don't have to be afraid to meet Him. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to worry about judgment. You simply receive God's grace because His grace comes first. He loves you right where you are, the same way you are. And so you can meet Him today. Number two, fear's real. Don't think you're silly for being afraid. Don't sell yourself short just because you're afraid. It's okay to be afraid. Fear is real. But it's not the final word. It's not the end of it. It's okay to feel it, but it's not the conclusion. It's not where we have to end. It's not the final word. Look at the scripture. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you. Oh, and there are 400 men with him. Oh, you could have led with that. There's 400 guys coming, and your brother's in front. And look what happens. Verse 7, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. greatly afraid and distressed. Why? Because the brother he was hoping to make peace with, who he sent the servants to go give him homage and gifts, is coming to him with 400 men. And with their history, he only expects the worst. He only expects the worst. My brother's coming here with 400. Yeah. Yeah. And he is scared. But look at point A. This is where the lesson for you personally begins. We see Jacob in the situation he's in. You may be in that same situation, but here's the truth we need to hang on to. Point A, instead of despair, we should turn to prayer. We don't panic. We don't begin to immediately think the worst. We don't immediately begin to fret and think of every negative scenario that could happen. We have a tendency to always go to the worst. In fact, my dad, when I was a teenager, I was worried about something. And I was having trouble sleeping. And my dad said to me, "You need to remember, things look worse in the dark at night." I've never forgotten him telling me that. Because it's true, isn't it? When we see a beautiful day like this, when the sun pops out, life doesn't look so bad. But as soon as that sun goes down and it gets dark, and we climb in that bed for our last thoughts of the day, they almost always go negative. Don't despair. That's when we go to prayer. That's what Jacob did. Let's look at it. Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I'm not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you've shown to your servant, for with only my staff I crossed this Jordan.'" Don't get any ideas, Pastor. "And now I've become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, 'I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" Now I want you to see how afraid Jacob is, and it shows in his prayer. He is praying. This sounds like a scared guy. You see, point number three, prayer confesses our unworthiness and clings to God's faithfulness. Prayer says, "I'm counting on you. You're all I have." You can look at some of the wording he said. He said, "Lord, you said, 'Return to your country and to your kindred.' Lord, you put me here. You told me to do this. But then you said that I may do you good." What is he saying? He's counting on God's word. "You said this would turn out okay. And I'm not worthy of all the goodness and all the love you give me. I'm not worthy. You see, it's important for us to confess our unworthiness. Confess it. Humble ourselves. Come before the Lord, broken before Him. Don't let the fear rule your life. Just come broken before the Lord and cling to His faithfulness. You said, you promised. And I need that promise. Letter A, Jacob remembers God's promise. Do you know God's promises? Can you count on them? Can you cling to them? Can you repeat them? Have you read the Word enough to know what God has promised? How He will never leave you nor forsake you? How He will never leave you alone? Do you know how God has promised to deliver? God put His promise in His precious Son. God did more than verbally promise. He sent His Son to deliver on what promise? The promise of forgiveness, the promise of grace, the promise of mercy. His Son's the promise. And so I humbly come before Him, recognizing my weakness and confessing my fear. Letter B, He confessed His fear. He said, you've got to deliver me from Esau because I'm afraid of him. So much so, I've split my camps in two so that if he attacks, maybe he'll only get half of us. He's made a plan to deal with his fear when what he really needs to do is trust the Lord. Are you tired today of your fear? Are you tired of walking that way? Are you tired of living that way? Are you tired of not letting God's joy rule your life? Would you like to have peace? Then I challenge you to come before God humbly. Confess your unworthiness. Hang on to His faithfulness. Claim His promise. Count on Him to carry you through. Look at number four. Faith acts humbly and trusts the outcome to God. You talk about finding peace. You reach a place where you can just humbly trust God for the ending. Trust Him. Leave it to Him. I promise you, His plan for your life, His plan for your dilemma is way better than your sister's plan. I promise you. Call her all you want, but God's better. God's smarter. God loves us more. Yes, loves us more than your sister. God loves and wants to care for us, and He wants to wade right into the middle of our life, and He wants to just calm the storm down. He wants that. Some of us have a personality that loves turmoil. We look for it. We love it. We want to get into a confrontation. We love to argue. just for the sake of argument. We especially sometimes love it with our siblings. We love to just get into it. And yet, God does not. God's not an arguer. God's a calmer. God doesn't fret the storm. He was asleep once in the back of the boat with his disciples who were panicking in the midst of a storm, and Jesus could take a nap. Why? Because he knew he could walk out front and say, "That'll be enough. Be still." And everything went still. You need God to say that in your life today. You need a still moment. Do you need to know He's gone before you? Do you need to recognize you're walking through God's camp? Then humbly trust Him. Here's what Jacob did. Verse 20, "And you shall say," he's telling his servants, "you tell Jacob more, tell Esau, moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he thought, I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me. And afterward, I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me." He's doing what he can to appease his brother. He's trying to make peace. Let me summarize for you what he sent his brother. It's there in elsewhere in chapter 32. He sends him 200 female goats and 20 male goats, sends him 200 baby ewes, sends him 20 lambs, sends him 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. He sent him a cotton-picking zoo. He sent these gifts because he thought they might appease him. You ever tried to make a deal with God? You ever been in one of those situations where you said, "Lord, you get me out of this and I'll promise whatever." Now, just a warning. The Bible says it's better to never make a vow to God than to make one and not keep it. Just a thought. You might rather humbly want to come before the God and trust the outcome to Him. You see, point letter A, prayer is not about manipulating God or control. That's not why we pray. We're not trying to con God into something. The Bible says God will not be mocked. That's not the point. The point of prayer is surrender. The point of prayer is to get on God's page. I want what you want. And prayer is surrendering myself to what He wants. B, Jacob is attempted. He attempted to reconcile. He wants to reconcile. But in his circumstance, in your circumstance, we're only going to get what God can do. We're human. We're broken. Circumstances don't always change. Jacob could never take back how he cheated his brother. You may be dreading something because you can't take it back. You can't change that. History is history. That was then. This is now. So what can change? What am I praying for? What can God do? God changes hearts. He changes hearts. He can take a broken heart and heal it. He can take a frigid heart and warm it. He can take an unloving heart and make it gracious and loving. God changes hearts. I may not be asking Him to change a circumstance. I just need Him to change the outcome. Many have sown their wild oats, and then they pray for crop failure. It doesn't work that way. Bible says what a man sows, he's going to reap. But who's going to make that harvest palatable? Who can change that outcome? Like Jesus said, I can make all things good. I can do that. I can take the bad and make it good. Even Joseph said it in the midst of his struggles. What you intended, talking to his brothers, what you contended for my harm, God intended for good. Count on Him today, beloved. Lean on Him today. Because here's the punchline of the story. Let her see, through Christ, we are reconciled to God. See, you may be here tonight, today, and you are afraid anytime you think of death. You have listened to society tell you, it's okay, there's nothing out there. There are scientists trying to test people's brains when they die to see what happens, where they go, what they do. I got news for you. I know what's happening. I can save you all the time, energy, and money. What happens is, in a twinkling of an eye, I am from here to there. That's it. That's where you amen. That was a big one. Paul said, for me to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know what you face today, but you don't have to be afraid of how it ends. Jesus did the reconciling. In fact, He's at the right hand of the Father right now, this minute, right now. He is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for all of us who have received His grace and His mercy. Come join us. Join us today. God calls. You open your heart. It's kind of a simple process. You open your heart. You don't have to change, get better. You just have to confess that you know you have failed. You just confess, I'm a sinner. I've got sin in my life. Confess your fear. I'm not trusting you, God. I'm leaning on what my grandpa told me. No, this morning, open your heart. Receive what Christ has done for you. And then, number 5 can be your story. Rest in God's promise. Rest. Doesn't that sound good? Those of you that are scrambling around in your fear, rest. Waiting deepens faith. Whatever you face today, I invite you to receive God's rest and just wait, wait on Him to make good on His promise. So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp. Jacob had done all he could do. He sent the zoo ahead of him to try to make peace with his brother. But he spent the night in prayer, waiting on the Lord for the outcome. Look at our memory verse. Let's say it together. We love because he first loved us. He does. He loves you. And he wants you to receive him this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for your promise, for your grace going before us. Before you, we're grateful for your mercy, your peace, your rest, your grace. And above all, we're grateful for your salvation. We're grateful that our story ends in your arms. And so we thank you for who you are and how you love. And I pray for each and every one seated here this morning that they may know your grace and peace. In Jesus' name, let us pray as we've been taught. Lord, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks, Steve, for that word. And now I really understand why Judy doesn't let you cook. So true. So true. But hey, you know, it's kind of interesting, this fear and faith. Because the next part of our time of worship is when we talk about our tithes and offerings. And often, I don't think we always say it, but there's a fear. There's a fear if I give, I don't have enough. It's a fear I'm not going to have what I need. It's a fear that God's not going to provide. It's part of what giving's about. Giving is an act of faith. Faith is believing on what's not seen. You were here and you heard the gospel of Jesus done from you. And by hearing, you've already received it. It's already there in your heart. And the question is, do you believe it? And so believing means I put faith in action. I respond to the gift that's given to me. That's what worship is. That's what our life is. I surrender, respond to what is greater that saved me from death. That's given me courage. It's given me life. I mean, Jacob had some fear. But he chose to respond to the calling that God said, hey, go, I want to reconcile this. He chose to act in the promises. And so I encourage you today to act in promises. Not act in fear, act in faith. The Bible talks about, Paul says, you know, pray about it, that you may be a cheerful giver. I mean, if you got fears, you're holding on to this money because you got your plans, your thoughts, man, pray about it. So this is a joyful, cheerful, faith-filled time. And so maybe you're not ready today to do that. Pray about it. You can mail it. You can do it online. I just want to encourage you and challenge you to pray over your fears and not just pass it, but to start acting in faith. And for some of you, that means to give for your very first time. I mean, the amount of people that come through here and don't sow seed of from the receiving is astronomical. The Bible says that we don't muzzle the ox. In other words, we sow where we've been given. And so you have that opportunity, whether it's online or it's the connect and the envelope that's there provided, your text to give, they're all right there, simple for you. But this is what we do as those who believe. Also in your worship folder, you could look at that connection card. You could turn to the backside. And yeah, if you've today said, look, I believe. It's the first time. Mark it. Let's pray with you after the service. Love to talk with you. If you've already said, I believe, man, and you haven't been baptized, let's talk. It's a gorgeous day. I don't know if I have a swimsuit, but we'll figure it out. The water's there. And if you grow in your faith, and then if you love also to get a sermon summary, if you're not getting that right now, hey, let us know. We love to send it out. Keep this in your word. Research says, man, you need to be in the word at least four times a week for it to really take effect in your life. So we have devotions we can email you. We have opportunities, a sermon outline that kind of refreshes and brings things in a fresh way and calls it to our mind and heart and our lives. So today is a great day because if you came and you got people in your family like Steve who don't cook, hey, we got beach breakfast. So you come, enjoy some fellowship, have some food after service. Love to be able to gather together and share in that moment. It's right under the pavilion over there. Also this week, we have membership class as opportunity to dive into, like, what do we are that we really believe here as a church? And if you have maybe never confirmed a faith and said, this is what I truly believe in, and let's just dive in for an hour and a half together. Maybe you got questions. This is a great place to come and push into your questions. We got so many people just going on church memory and don't even know where Scripture is, what it says about what we are. Let's dive in together so it's opportunity to do that. I encourage you to join that membership class. Also, the Thanksgiving potluck, it's one of our only times that we get to come together on all our different venues, the four venues to come and have a Thanksgiving at Hope. So we bring our dishes, have a great potluck, everybody gets full, and then we come into worship and everybody sleeps. No, I'm just kidding. But we have a great time with worship together and kick the holiday off with God as our church family the week before the holiday kicks in on the calendar. And then lastly, just want to give you notes. We have that opportunity to carry out our mission with the Guardian Light and Kids, the kids that have been in the system, foster care, and those also who just are 18 and push out of the system and don't have things. You have an opportunity to grab a gift and to give to that. You can see the tree on your way out and grab one of the ornaments and get some more guidance on that. So as we continue our worship, the ushers will come around. You can put your connection card and your offering in there. But I invite us to rise as we close out our worship in the last song together. Give Him praise.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, in redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled. For my ransom, everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to the cross. You were as I, tempted and tried, human. The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to the cross, to your heart, to your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to the cross. Thank you for coming today. Let me give the blessing as you leave. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You have a blessed day in the Lord.